Then they come back Wednesday night. And again, they study bigger and better methods of agriculture, sharpen their hoes, grease their tractors. They get up and go home. They do this week in and week out, year in and year out. And nobody ever goes out into the fields to gather in the harvest. Nobody goes out, puts the concerns of Jesus Christ before their own. Nobody's serving his interest. That's what he's saying here. So what are the interests of Jesus Christ? Jesus gives us an answer to that question in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, which is part of the Great Commission. Jesus said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." As Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we're to go out and tell everyone about Jesus. And not only that, we should teach them all that we know about him so that they can become disciples, that they can become students of his. And they'll have a desire to learn more and more about him and become more and more like him. We should have a genuine concern for the spiritual well-being of others. We should be concerned enough about others to put their needs ahead of our desires. The person God uses has genuine concern for the welfare of others, and number two, the person God uses has proven character. The person God uses has proven character. So let's read verse 22. "But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel." See, when Paul and Timothy first met in Acts chapter 16, Paul learned about Timothy's character from other believers who knew him. This is what they said in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. "Paul came to Derbe, then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him." The people that knew Timothy had seen his character, and they spoke well of him to Paul. But now, Timothy and Paul have been serving together for a number of years. Paul had been serving side by side and teaching him as he went. Paul knows the true character of Timothy firsthand. I mean, they've been through suffering and hardship together. Timothy has demonstrated solid character. He's proven that he's strong in his faith in Jesus Christ. And we develop proven character the same way, by going through tough situations and learning to keep our focus on Jesus, not questioning or doubting him. You know, I saw this a few years back before I was a Christian. We had an employee who started at the company I was working for, and he hadn't been there maybe a year or so, but his wife had a baby, and in the process, she almost died. And then they brought the baby home, and like a week later, they realized that part of the baby's backbone was exposed, which was pretty serious. But this guy was so peaceful and so calm, and when I talked to him about it, I couldn't believe how he was. And he's so different, everybody else would have been freaking out about that, but he wasn't. And I didn't know it at the time, but it's because he was a Christian. He had his faith in Jesus Christ, whereas I would have been just totally flipping out. That's the first experience I had with that. The more we learn to put our trust in Jesus Christ whenever we face any kind of trial, the stronger our faith will become. That's why Peter said in 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ Jesus is revealed." person God uses is the one who has proven character. Now, giftedness can bring temporary success, but it's a person's integrity that enables them to have a long-term service and fruitfulness for the Lord. The person God uses has genuine concern, proven character, and number three, the person God uses serves others sacrificially. So now Paul is talking about sending Epaphroditus back to the church in Philippi. Now, Epaphroditus had been serving in the church in what capacity we don't know, but the Philippians had sent him to help out Paul. He took him a gift of money and to help him out with his needs. And now Paul was thinking that he needed to be sent back. So let's read through verses 25 through 30. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. For God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. So in verse 26, Paul gives two reasons for sending Epaphroditus. One is he was longing for them. The second one is he was distressed. Now, Epaphroditus was stressed or concerned because he knew that the Philippians had heard about his illness. They may have even heard that he died. He didn't know. But they were probably concerned about him and his ability to minister to Paul. And Epaphroditus was also longing to tell the Philippians that God had spared him from this illness. And then in verse 28, Paul said he was eager to send him back so they could see that he was all right, so they wouldn't have to go on what they heard. They could actually see him. And also to relieve Paul's anxiety, his anxiety over Epaphroditus being sick and almost dying. He almost lost a close friend. And Paul goes on to say that the Philippians should honor Epaphroditus and people like him because they risked their lives to serve Christ. So Paul's saying that the church should honor those who are willing to give their lives for the sake of Christ. The world honors people that are intelligent, beautiful, rich, famous, and powerful. But God honors people who sacrificially serve others. That's why Paul said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased." So serving others sacrificially doesn't mean we have to risk our lives to do it. And as I've already talked about, what it means is putting the welfare of others above our own desires. And serving sacrificially is something that we can't do on our own strength. If we try to do it on our own strength, we're going to get tired. We're going to burn out. You might have heard somebody say, "I feel like I'm burning out." Well, that's because they're trying to do it on their own strength, not the strength of the Lord. And more importantly, if we're trying to serve on our own strength, we're not giving the glory to God. That's why Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen." The Holy Spirit gives us the gifts and the strength to serve sacrificially. John Harper was a Scottish pastor who was invited to speak at the Moody Church in Chicago in 1910. After that engagement, he was invited to come back and speak again. John Harper, his sister, and his six-year-old daughter were making the voyage to the United States on the RMS Titanic. Survivors later reported that as the Titanic began to sink, Harper warned people that they needed to be prepared to die. He made sure his sister and daughter were in a lifeboat as he continued to share the gospel with anybody that would listen. And after the ship sank, and he was floating in the icy waters, he drifted close to another man and asked him, "Are you saved?" "No, I'm not saved," the desperate man replied. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved," Harper shouted. One report says that Harper, knowing that he couldn't survive long in the icy water, took off his life jacket and threw it to another person, saying, "You need this more than I do." Moments later, Harper disappeared beneath the surface of the water. 4 years later, when there was a reunion of the survivors of the Titanic, that man, the one that Harper had witnessed to, told the story of his rescue and gave a testimony of his conversion recorded in a tract titled, "I Was John Harper's Last Convert." Can you see what John Harper had done? He had developed all three of these characteristics that of a person God uses. He had genuine concern for the welfare of others, both spiritually and physically. He had certainly proven his character, and he had served others sacrificially. So because of his commitment to serving the Lord, people received the gift of eternal life. They went from a stage in their life of being eternally separated from God to having eternal life with God. We only heard about one person. Who knows? There may have been more on that ship, but there certainly were more in his home, in his church back home, I'm sure. That's all we need to do. Stand strong. Put our trust in Jesus. Develop these three characteristics. Tell people about him. It's a matter of life and death. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you for the conviction it gives us. Conviction that maybe we're not stepping up and doing what you're asking of us. And just thank you for your word as a reminder to keep us moving forward and not just letting us sit still. Thank you for prompting us to get up out of our seats and serve you. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for the gifts that you give each and every one of us. We thank you for the strength that you give us to serve you. We don't have to do it on our own. We do it with you. Father, we thank you for every opportunity you give us to serve you, and we thank you for every person you put on our path that we can share you with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.